Lesson is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and come quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading is found in Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1. Please follow the screens.
I will exalt you, my King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Praise the Lord, who is worthy of praise, his praise is no more than found.
One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts.
They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I meditate on your wonderful works.
They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds.
They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you.
They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your kingdom.
The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at proper time.
You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all he says, and faithful in all he does.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord, but every creature praises his holy name forever and ever.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, beginning with verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave cloths and let him go. The gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated. So you could see that all the lessons except for the psalm today were from the gospels. We're talking about prayer today, and when you're talking about prayer, I kind of feel like you should just go right to the source, right? So our lessons were all gospel lessons today. We're in Lent. The theme, you know, traditionally, Lent is always about repentance, return to the Lord your God. If we're going to return to him, that means, you know, we need to have a place to return to. We need to see Jesus so we can go to Jesus, so we can encounter him, so we can be changed by him, so we can reveal him, all right? So we see him, go to him, reveal him, okay? And that's what we're aiming at this season of Lent, and we're talking about seeing Jesus today in answered and unanswered prayer. Answered prayer and unanswered prayer. So certainly we see Jesus in answered prayer, okay? It is always great when we ask the Lord for something and we actually get it the way we recognize that it came from him, and it confirms our faith, it gives us hope. It's always good to receive answered prayer, and it does help us to see Jesus clearly. It helps us to see that he loves us, that he is powerful, that he does listen. There's all sorts of things that we see Jesus clearly in with answered prayer. His disciples could see that connection as well. So Jesus is constantly answering people's prayers. They pray, you know, and he prays to God for them, but there's a lot of yeses going on early, especially in the Gospels as Jesus begins his ministry. And at a certain point, he asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And so by seeing all that Jesus has been doing, by seeing all that God the Father has been doing through Jesus, then they're able to see him clear enough, at least Peter was, to say, you are the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, the one we've been waiting for. That's a pretty loaded term, the Messiah term, very, you know, prophetic. You're the Messiah that we've been waiting for, the Son of the living God. And so they're able to see him clearly in lots and lots and lots of answered prayer. Ultimately, God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to say yes, because it does help us to know him and see him better when that happens. Now, there are some occasions, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but we need to realize that he might say yes to something that we pray for that we really wished he would say no to. Okay, so I get enough laughter to know that sounds like some of you have experienced that, maybe. Okay, so here's a story for you, personal story. So I went to seminary in Berkeley, California, okay? And for those of you who know me well, you probably could know that that's not a great fit, okay? And when I graduated from Berkeley, from PLTS, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, and I was wrapping it up there, I swore an oath. The Bible says never swear an oath, but I did anyway. I said I'm never going back to Berkeley, ever. And about two-thirds of the way through my first call, which was in Las Vegas area, the Lord was telling me, okay, it's your work here is done. It's time to start thinking about where I want to send you next. And so I thought, I better start praying about that. And got into a season of lots and lots and lots of prayer, asking for confirmation. Where do you, is this what you want? Where do you want me to go? And I said, I prayed, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You tell me where to go, and I'll go there. I want to go wherever I can best be used by you. And I thought for sure that he would have taken my oath into account. So guess where he sent me? Berkeley, right back to Berkeley, okay? And because he did that, and I have told you, you know, it was between graduating and that time that I was baptized in the Spirit, and God really did something to my heart when I was baptized in the Spirit about how to love people. And there apparently was still a part of my heart that I had kept back from him about Berkeley and the Bay Area and like that culture and all that kind of stuff. And so he didn't want me to have that. What I saw in Jesus is that he did not want me to have those feelings that I had when I had graduated about anyone, anywhere, because if he made them, he loves them. If he made that place, he loves it. They're his creation, and I needed to be able to have heart change, and I needed to have vision change so that I had his heart for them and for that place, and I had his vision for them and for that place. And he showed me through all of that by saying yes to something I wished he had said no to, but he showed me how good he is. He is so good. He showed me powerful love for the lost. He showed me powerful love for all creation. He revealed himself to me in that it was a very short call, but it was long enough for me to see Jesus so much more clearly. And that was such a gift to me. So when he answers, yeses are good when they come from God, because we do end up seeing him much more clearly, even if it's with places that things that we wish he'd say no to, right? Somebody afterwards, after 8 o'clock, said, yeah, you really have to be careful what you pray for. And miracles are great, okay? And I've seen lots and lots of miracles. I've shared some of them with you. And again, they confirm the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God, you know, that God is able. There's so many things that miracles do. One of the things that shows, and if we want to see Jesus clearly, we need to see all of Jesus, okay? And I think a lot of us have in our minds, when we think of Jesus, we get this image, you know, of the Good Shepherd leading the sheep. These kind of pastoral images of Jesus. Jesus, you know, sitting down with the kids on his lap, and Jesus loving the little children and all that. And so these really happy images of Jesus. And, you know, we kind of put out of our minds Jesus turning the tables over in the temple, you know, and chasing out the money changers. And we far from our mind usually are these images of Jesus in the book of Revelation where, you know, he's riding into battle against evil. And his eyes are flame like fire. Out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. And he's, you know, he's going to destroy evil. Okay. And so one of the answered prayer, God saying yes prayers, over the last 30 years and lots in Utah somehow, is when I've been called out to do to cast out demons and unclean spirits from people or from their homes. And I know that kind of makes people a little uncomfortable to talk about, but when I'm called into those things, into those situations, it's usually by people who are really desperate. They're really desperate people at the end of their rope. And quite often, they've come to this kind of conclusion, if this stuff is happening and this is real and evil is real, and maybe the demons and the devil are real, then maybe God is real too. Because most of the people who call on me don't have a relationship with Christ. They are very minimal with even going to church or anything. And quite often, when they come to that conclusion, they'll try everything but Jesus first. You know, all the New Age stuff and all that kind of thing. And eventually they get so desperate that they'll cry out. And God leads them to somebody who is willing to go in the name of Jesus and deal with this stuff. And often but not always, through that situation, people are able to come to the conclusion that Jesus is God and that he is powerful, that he hates evil, but that he loves me. He must love me to set me free from this. And so there's again, heart change that goes on when we see Jesus for who he really is. And they come to this conclusion that Jesus is real, his name is power, he overcomes, he is mighty, and he is love. He is love. And I always, no matter who I'm going to help, talk to them about the love of God and Jesus Christ and the need for them to make Jesus their God and their King, to invite him through the power of the Holy Spirit into their hearts, into their lives, to give their lives to him so that that emptiness can't be filled by something wicked again, you know, something evil and wicked again. And some of them do because the truth of who Jesus is always revealed when God answers prayers. Whether it's yes or no, the truth of who Jesus is always revealed when God answers prayers. In the Gospel of John, there's both. There's some answered prayer and there's some unanswered prayer. And we have Martha and Mary and especially Lazarus seeing who Jesus is. All these people, the mourners who are there, and they see Jesus in a way that they didn't really see him before. A much clearer vision because of when God answered Jesus' prayer. And so Jesus prays for our benefit. So whether God says yes or whether God says no to our prayers, we need to remember that it's for our benefit. It's for our good. He's always good, and he's always for our good. And Jesus, out loud in front of all these people, prayed, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. Why? That they may believe that you sent me, so that they can see you, and that they can see me, so they can see that you sent me." And God revealed Jesus in that prayer and in that situation, because when he said yes and Lazarus was raised, they learned a lot of things that they didn't really clearly know about Jesus. There's a whole bunch of things that we can see Jesus clearly in. They saw that Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. He knows our hearts. He knows our troubles. They saw that he cares about them. They saw how much he loves them. They even said it. See how he loves. See how he loves them. See how he loved them. They saw that he grieves with us and for us. He grieves with us. They saw that he cares that we're perishing or dying. You know, I always think of the disciples on the boat. Jesus is asleep, but there's a big storm. Remember this one? And they have to come and wake him up and say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" He does. He cares. That's why he came. They saw truly that he is the resurrection and the life. You know, Martha said, "Yeah, I know, on the last day." And Jesus basically said, "Hey, let me open your eyes up a little bit more here. I'm the resurrection and the life." They saw that he wants us to have life. They saw that he wants us to be set free. And again, I've said this before, but you notice that as John describes Lazarus as he comes out of the tomb, and the dead man came out. He was still dead until they cut him loose. And Jesus said, "Cut him free, cut him loose." The word is leo, it means loosen him, untie him. And then we're alive. And Jesus wants us to be set free. So they saw so much. And isn't it interesting that Martha's prayers, because you know Martha had to have been praying, right? Martha's prayers went unanswered. Martha, you have to believe that Martha and Mary were praying for their brother Lazarus to be healed. They sent word to Jesus, "Jesus, come, let your friend Lazarus is sick." That's a prayer, because they're asking God to come heal their brother. And their prayer went unanswered. You know, it was because their prayer went unanswered that this other situation happened. Jesus said, "This is for the glory of God." And that Jesus was seen more clearly by the end of it. They didn't get what they wanted, but Jesus was seen more clearly. They had to go through all that pain and suffering, but Jesus was seen more clearly and God was glorified. Her prayers stayed unanswered, but Jesus' prayer was answered. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Why do my prayers seem to go unanswered and this other person's prayers get answered? Why? Alignment. Alignment is a really important part of this. When our prayers are aligned with God's plans, then the answer is either yes, or not yet, or maybe not how you expect it, but never no. If our prayers are in alignment with God's plans. God will never act against his own plans, which are perfect and good, and they're for us. Jesus teaches us about that in the parable of the persistent widow. I love that story. That kind of, he's telling us be persistent in prayer, you know. And when our prayers go unanswered like that, and we're persistent, we get to see what God means by justice, what Jesus means by justice. And so Jesus said to her, and to his, as he's telling this parable, "Will not God," he's explaining the parable, "will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." Now there's a couple things here, right? What is justice? And quickly is a really important word. And then he says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And there's faith is a really important word. Well, what's faith? Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is praying day and night, night and day, even when you think your prayers are going unanswered, because you know that God is hearing them and that he's doing something. And just because you can't see what he's doing doesn't mean that he's not doing something. Faith is believing that God hears your prayers and he is working. And what he may be working on first and foremost is bringing us into alignment with him and his plans. So never stop praying. It's when we stop praying that the alignment slows down and stops. Keep praying. Be persistent. And he talks about justice. He says there will be justice. Well, there will be justice, but justice doesn't necessarily mean getting what we want or what we think we deserve. I beg you, never pray, give me what I deserve. Justice means, and this is covenant stuff. Justice means God will always do for us according to the promises that he has made for us, which are always best for us. Justice does not mean equality or fairness or equity or any of those things. That's human. But the Bible says, tzedek, it's a legal term and it has to do with covenant, is that when God makes a covenant vow, he keeps it. So we have to be prepared to continue to pray and let God bring us into alignment with him so we can see him clearly, even if the prayer goes unanswered. There was a season, you know, I get a little personal here. Many of you know that I've been divorced. And after a, 12 and a half year marriage. And in the last couple years of that, it was awful. I mean, it was no pain that I've ever experienced like that before. And the prayer, day and night, night and day, praying, begging God, fix this. Change her heart. Protect my daughter. Save our home. Save us, Lord. Just, what can't you do something about this? Begging for a couple of years. And seemingly not hearing anything from me. And it's late at night, and I was leaning up against a wall because I was just so exhausted from pain of all of it. And I just was done, and I just slumped to the ground, and I'm sobbing, and I'm praying, Jesus, where are you? Remember, he doesn't say justice happens soon. He says it happens quickly. Soon and quickly are very different things. You know, when Jesus comes again, it could be 1,000 years from now, but it's going to happen quickly, like a thief in the night. That's how he came to me at that moment. It was like getting hit by lightning. It was so fast. Because he said, I've never left you. I'm going through this with you. I'm suffering like with you in this, and I'm here to hold you. And I've never felt so close to Jesus. You know, he showed a tenderness to me that I didn't know he had, and a strength in that quickness. It was so quick. But that's justice. Because what did Jesus promise? I promise to be with you to the end of the age. And he was. He showed me that he was. He showed me that the more we pray, especially when our prayers are unanswered, the more he's bringing us into alignment with his will and making us ready. He's making us ready for his plans to unfold. And there are many of us here at Good Shepherd who have been praying for this church to once again be overflowing with children and youth. And we have great kids here, and we have some dynamite youth here. But we've been praying that we're just overflowing with children and youth, young families, and that hadn't happened. We've been praying for it for 6 years now, and that hasn't happened. And I believe when it happens, it's going to come quickly. But in the meantime, what's he doing? He's bringing us into alignment with him. He's making us ready. He's saying, I'm going to get you ready to lose your peace and quiet. I'm going to make you ready to love them, and I'm going to make you ready to work like you've never worked before. I'm going to make you ready to make these children such a high priority that you would do anything for them. He's changing our hearts and making us ready for what a bunch of teenagers could do to our grounds and our building. And I don't know if you ever had teenagers, but I know what that does to a house. He's making us ready, putting us into alignment with him. Because there's a prayer that Jesus prayed. We saw it in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's such a complex prayer that Jesus prays. So short, but complex. He says, if there's any way, Father, that you can take this cup from me, that this cup can pass from me. I wonder if he paused and waited for an answer. No, there's not. God said no. But not my will, but yours be done. The prayer that always works, right? The prayer that always works is not my will, but your will be done. And we need to be brought into alignment with him so that we can pray that prayer and really mean it. Because a lot of times, speaking for myself, I've prayed, your will be done, but I really have my will in mind when I say those words. And we need to be brought into submission and alignment with him so that when we pray, your will be done, we really mean it. And it will be done. It will be done. And this is the last thing. This is what we're going to end with today. A tip, okay? So how do we get brought into alignment with God? Well, never stop praying. Like Jesus said, pray persistently. And when you pray, remember that you're entering into the throne room of God, and that when you enter into the throne room of God, it's a really good idea to remember how Isaiah felt about that. And he said, I'm undone. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, from a people of unclean lips. In other words, confession. And God sent a seraphim with a coal, touched his lips. He said, your sins have been forgiven. Anyway, when you enter into prayer and you're in the throne room of God, make confession. Let God purify you. And then spend time in remembrance. Remembrance. If you want your faith to grow, you want your faith, your prayers to persist in faith and in encouragement and in hope, then remembrance is so important. The Psalms are full of remembrance. And what is the remembrance? God, you created the universe. You made the heavens and the earth. You made us with a plan and a purpose. Even when they were in exile and when they were in bondage, they prayed, they remembered you. You delivered us from Egypt. You walked us through the wilderness. You brought us to the promised land. You did all of these things, and we will not forget. So even if we're in bondage now, even if we're in exile now, we can remember what you've already done, and we can hope for what you're going to do. So remember. Spend some time in remembrance from all the things that you know God has done in Scripture and in your own lives. Spend a little time remembering that Jesus is who he says he is. He does what he says he does. He did it for us. And we'll come into alignment with him. This is what the Psalm says, and this is so important, this verse here. One generation... Where is it? One generation commends your works to another. How important is that? That you remember what God has done and pass that to your children so they don't forget Okay? One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. How do we know? Because we've seen it. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So continue to pray, pray remembrance, never stop praying, and you will see him more clearly. Amen?